for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tuesday evening, December the 25th, 2007. Dr. William Knoll is the speaker of the evening, teaching on unforgiveness.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about something that I've been through for this past year. You know, I have taught for some 20-odd years, and I taught that the key to getting free is first obedience to God and forgiveness for those people who slighted you, who hurt you, who offended you, who used you terribly, that you need to forgive them. Forgiveness is the key to getting free. If you will not forgive, God won't hear your prayer. It stands as a wall. Let me give you some scriptures. First, let's say, what is forgiveness? It's to release all claims for vengeance. To release all claims to see the people who hurt you pay for what they did. Make them pay, Lord. And those are the definitions out of Webster. New College Dictionary, 2nd edition, 1982. It's to release or remit the debt and mark it paid in full. When someone hurts you, someone steals from you, later on you have to release that debt to them and release them to God. That's what forgiveness means. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. These are all familiar scriptures to you, but let's look at them. Because I want to share something with you tonight. It's to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or if we forgive, verse 14, if we forgive man their trespasses, our Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive man their trespasses, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. If you ain't unforgiveness, you're still in your sin. You can claim the blood of Jesus all day long. But if you have not forgiven, it stands as a wall between you and God. You're a thief. You want vengeance, you're a thief. For the Word of God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Romans 12. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You release those people to God, and how God judges them is up to Him. Not up to me or you. God is the judge. There's only one judge. That's God. Jesus Christ says He will judge all men. You will all stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Mark 11, 25 and 26 says the same thing, but it says, when you stand praying, asking God for something, forgive, that He might forgive you. Luke 6 says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Look at Matthew 18. This is probably the most graphic. Now, if you don't forgive, does that mean God takes a big stick and hits you over the head? Or God takes something and hits you with it? He gives you cancer, or migraine headaches, or stomach ulcers, or diabetes because you don't forgive? Does God do that to you? No, God doesn't. God's your Father. He loves you. You give it to yourself because you walked away from Him and His protection. Look at Matthew 18. Verse 23-35. You've all heard this. And it says, therefore the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is like a certain king who wanted to settle a state. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Who can tell me what the kingdom of God is? Come on, people. Somebody, I know that some of you know what it is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 15. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, that Jesus Christ is your righteousness. Peace, that's shalom. Health, wholeness, prosperity, serenity, fullness, and joy. The joy of the Lord. That, when you walk in that, you're walking in the kingdom of God. And so he says the kingdom of God, if you want the kingdom of God, it's like this king who wants to settle accounts. And I will paraphrase it. And he called one of his servants to him. And the servant owed him 10,000 talents. And it's an oriental book. And the talents, when it speaks of talents, if it doesn't specify otherwise, it specifies gold. A talent is 100 pounds. If you translate that into about $500 an ounce, gold's worth much more than that. You're talking about $3 billion. That's how much this man owed him. He couldn't pay it. The king said, sell him and his family and his wife and his children and all he owes, and sell him into slavery. And he said, Master, have mercy on me. Give me time and I will pay you all. And the king had compassion and forgave the debt. Now that man couldn't pay that back. He owed a debt he could not pay. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. What about y'all? But the king forgave me my debt when I repented and asked him to. And so that servant went out and he found a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. And a denarii is a piece of silver that is for one day's labor. So he owed him 100 days' wages. In current vernacular, it's about $100 a day, $10,000. And he said, pay me. I can't pay. He grabbed him by the throat and said, pay me. Didn't. He had him thrown in debtor's prison. And they told the king about this. The king called him in and he was upset. I think the word used in the King James is he was wroth. And the master said after he called him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had? And the master was angry. This is the New King James. The old King James says wroth. And delivered him to the torturers or the tormentors or put him in the jail, depending on which translation you're reading. Until he should pay all that was due him. And so my Heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now who are the torturers or the tormentors? That word came down in the Greek from the people who tested the currency. Now they didn't have paper money then. Everything was metal coins. And so they had these caustic solutions. And they dip the coin in there and they take it and say, yeah, that's real gold. They didn't eat it up. That's real gold. That's real silver. And it was transferred over the folks in the jailhouse who tested your testimony. And they had some very nice ways to test your testimony and see if you're telling the truth. They had this little gizmo they put your hand in and it had thumb screws on top of each finger. And they start twisting them and crush first your little finger there. Say, you sure you tell us the truth? Don't you? You sure you want to tell us now what really happened? And they twist it a little bit more until they crush all the fingers in your hand. To see if they can get you to. And after that first finger, you tell them anything they want to know. You pull your fingernails off. I went through Henry VIII's torture chamber in England. And I didn't know that man could be so inhumane. And these bird cages that they put you in and they folded you up so that you couldn't even wiggle. And they shut it and then they hung you up there and let you die. Let the birds eat your flesh. Those are the tormentors. And that is Satan. What did that thing say? Our well-trained team is anxiously awaiting to serve you. You remember that thing showed the hillbillies with their guns and their sticks waiting there, you know, grinning? Well, that's Satan's crew, the tormentors. They're waiting for you. And when you won't forgive, you walk out from under God's covering And they're out there. And they will, and what they do to you depends on your family history. On what kind of spirits have been assigned to your family line. That's the reason heart attacks run in families. That's the reason cancer runs in families. That's the reason insanity runs in families. That's the reason rape and fornication and incest and all these things run in families. Because that's a well-trained crew just waiting out there. Because you won't forgive. You're stubborn. You won't let it go. You say, well, I have forgiven. I've forgiven him. It's like the little old lady who had the real bad arthritis. And she came in, and she was a real nice Pentecostal lady, and she was in a wheelchair, and she was all deformed from arthritis. And we kept working with her about unforgiveness. And she said, oh, no, doctor. It's a sin not to forgive. I've forgiven everybody. And the word of knowledge kept coming back, unforgiveness. And so we went back. Finally, her nephew, who was singing, said, what about Aunt Lucy? And a pale came out and said, I've forgiven Aunt Lucy. God can take care of her better than I'll ever be able to. God's going to make her pay for what she did to me. I said, you know, it doesn't sound like you've forgiven Aunt Lucy. And so I had to explain to him what forgiveness really meant. And after we talked to her for 45 minutes, she decided that she would forgive Aunt Lucy. And she began to pray blessings on Aunt Lucy. And as she did, arthritis. And she walked out of that place that night. Now, I don't see many healings that traumatic. But I think it was for me more than anybody else. But unforgiveness. And you say, well, I forgive them. Really? Do you have someone who's hurt you, cheated you, used you, maligned you, lied about you in any way, destroyed something that you value? And when you they come up in your mind, when your flesh brings it up, or you see them on the street, you get a headache, or your stomach tightens up, or it produces a physical reaction within you. What does that mean? It means you have not forgiven. You're still carrying that thing. You need to start praying for that person, that God will bless them, that God will be merciful to them. You want God to be merciful to you? Then you pray that God will be merciful to your enemies. It says, be merciful, and I might be merciful to you. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Y'all heard of the law of sowing and reaping, of faith seed, and sowing your seed out here and getting money back? Am I the only one ever heard these preachers talk about that? But you know there are four or five verses in the Bible that speak of sowing and reaping. One of them speaks of money. Now the rest of them are pulled out of context for the offering and all sorts of things. But if you read the context, only one of them speaks of money. The rest of them speak of blessing, of forgiveness, being merciful, being loving and kind. And that is what will come back to you. If you want anger, be angry. It'll come back to you. If you want to see somebody pay, then you'll pay. And so, let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Verse 43 says, you have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That was the law. The law of Leviticus said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If somebody put your eye out, you could go put theirs out. That was a protection. In other words, you couldn't go put both their eyes out. You could only put out one of them. What they did to you. But Jesus said, that's changed now. No longer shall it be said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You shall love your neighbor and hate your... But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. We make the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Remember, God made every living soul on this planet. And He loves every one of them. And it is His will that they all should come to repentance, to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, and turn from their wickedness. And He wants you to pray for them. He will not put a hook in their nose and drag them in. But He will witness to them through their conscience and give them the opportunity to turn. But He wants you to pray mercy for them, that they will, that His mercy will be poured out on them. Therefore, He will be merciful to you. Let's look at Luke 6, 26 to 36 to 38. Starting with verse 35, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You will be sons and daughters of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Heavenly Father is also merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be forgiven. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, will it be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured out to you. Now there's a very common verse used in the offering and sowing. It is a sowing and reaping verse, but it's speaking of sowing and reaping in the context. Judgment, mercy, judgment, forgiveness, those are the things in love. Those are the things He's saying that you give, pull out, and it's going to be poured back to you. Shaken together, pressed down, overflowing, be poured into your bosom. And God's prosperity is included. And what is God's prosperity? Enough money, a job to provide you with enough money to have a to pay your bills. Continue in the ministry that He's called you to. Pay your tithe and have some left over to help others. It is not a house on the hill and a Cadillac and a fur coat. There are some multiple marketing companies that will take you to a meeting out in Denver and they will let you look at all the diamonds and the fur coats and have you try on the power suit. And see all these wonderful things that you are out there working to sell and recruit new members in Amway. Y'all never heard of that? Some of y'all have been there. And that is to, and they quote the Bible to you and they read that verse to you and they're taking things out of context and they're stoking your greed and stoking your flesh, your evil competence. Of the law of sin and death that's within you. That will make you a greedy person. Remember what Paul said, he who would be rich will be pierced through with many sorrows and be on the road to perdition and death. I'll paraphrase it a little bit. Watchman Nee says the sure road to hell is to be greedy and want to be rich. And so, people, let me tell you, you know, Daniel 9:9 says mercy and forgiveness belongs to God. Forgiveness is a gift. It's a grace gift that God gives you. He looks at your heart. And when you can pray for those people who really hurt you and pray earnestly for them and labor in prayer, God will give you the gift of forgiveness. So that when you see them, they don't hurt no more. That's peace. When you see them, they don't hurt no more. You don't get the burning in the stomach or the tension, the headache, or the anger and the rage. I have preached this for 20 years. About 10 years ago, I was involved in a Christian school. And there were some promises made. I was chairman of the Board of Education. And we had taken this little school from 30 people up to 500. And some promises had been made that were not kept. And there was one person who stole money from the school. He was associate pastor. Lied, presented false bills. His excuse was the church wasn't paying enough to pay his bills. Nothing was ever done. I had a little problem with it. There were some other things done. I resigned from the school. And there was several other small things. These weren't big things. And when it would come up, sometimes my son would say to me, "When are you going to let poor little Johnny go?" His name wasn't Johnny, but "When are you going to let him go? When are you going to forgive him and let him go?" And I would pray. I would give it a superficial hit and a miss and move on. And I got this thing on my back. It hurt. I started believing a little bit. People, I have depended on God to heal me for the last 35 years. I hadn't even taken an aspirin tablet. But this thing didn't get healed. It kept bleeding and it kept getting bigger. And it got infected. And it drained. And I didn't feel good. And I didn't realize it was such a slow, insidious process, how much of the life it had sucked out of me. I couldn't write anymore. I got halfway through with a new book on witchcraft, and I just couldn't write, and I thought it was all an attack over this new book. And it began to hurt. And it would didn't have any rhyme or reason when the pain would come, and I had to go in my house and stuff a wash rag in my mouth to keep from screaming. It hurt so bad. And I found myself sleeping most of the time. So I called two of my prayer partners, and I went over it with them about 6 months ago, or 3 months, 3 or 4 months ago. And I said, "Let's fast and pray this weekend and see if God will show us what's wrong." And that night, I had a series of open visions in which God showed me that I had been in a cocoon, that He had surrounded me and the enemy couldn't touch me. But I had walked out of that cocoon. I had walked away because of unforgiveness. And He began to bring up these things, all of these things, and several other things are the ones I've mentioned. They were all little things. Remember, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. And He gave me the names. And so that was Saturday night. And Sunday afternoon, one prayer partner called me. Said, "Doc, you got unforgiveness." And she gave me the same list God gave me. And then the other one called me, and they had not communicated. And she said, "Doc, you got unforgiveness." And she gave me the same list. And you know, you can be stuffing only so long. And then God said to me, "I want you to submit yourself. You get Brother Glenn's doctor. He's a good Christian man. I want you to go and submit yourself to his authority." Well, it took 2.5, but it took about 3 weeks to get to him. I mean, there were some problems. He went on vacation, and I had to go to a wedding in Kansas, and I got back, and we had camp meeting in the last of October. Anyway, the 30th of October, I was admitted to the hospital. I was there for 7 weeks. I went on with surgery 4 times as they cut this cancerous lesion off my back and left a hole that was 7 inches long and 4 inches wide and 1.5 inches deep. And it's healing because I had unforgiveness. I did the prayer meeting every morning. God honored prayers. I prayed for people. I saw people get healed. But I was dying. I came, when I went into the hospital, my blood sugar was 300. My protein was down. My albumin was less than 1. My thyroid was sky high. My blood pressure was sky high. I came within that close to lying down and dying because I had unforgiveness in my heart. I didn't say that God hadn't witnessed it to me, just I was too stubborn to hear. I say to you, if you've got anything in you, anything, that upsets you when you think of somebody who's hurt you and it upsets you, then you need to start praying for that person and releasing them to God and ask God to bless them. If you've offended someone else and you hadn't made it right, you need to go make it right. Look at Matthew chapter 5. It took me a long time to understand to get an understanding of this verse. Matthew chapter 5:25. Starting back at Verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, you offended your brother. Leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled with your brother, then come offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly. I used to think that was the devil. No. That's the person whom you've offended, who's mad at you. While you're on the way with him, let your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you to the officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. Surely I say to you, you by no means get away until you pay the last penny. That's the reverse of someone offending you. You've offended someone else. Now there's sometimes when people offend you, or you offend someone, that they won't forgive you. I was on the Mayor's Select Committee for the dog ordinance. I was public health officer. You know, folks get very put out about their dogs. And we were trying to put together a dog ordinance. And we met twice a week for 6 months, I think. Forever. And we agreed that in the end, that the majority would rule and there would be no minority report to the city commission. And we finally came down with one, but one thing that they put in there was about the rabies vaccination. Now, rabies vaccination is approved by NIH for 3 years. But the veterinarian on the committee talked those people in to approving it for only 1 year. So the people have to bring their dog in. He was saying they have to bring their dog in and get them checked and make sure they don't have worms and this, that, and other, and all these other diseases. And they bought it. And this man called me. And he read me the right out about it not being 3 years. And my answer was, we agreed that the majority would rule. And the majority said 1 year. And he slammed the phone down in my ear. That night I thought about it. You know, he was right. And so I went to him the next day and said, you know, you're right. But that was what we agreed on. And it's not right. And he looked at me with all the venomance and said, it's a good thing you can admit you were wrong. He had a heart attack a little while later, and I went and prayed for him. He had his heart attack. God healed him. He had a stroke and was paralyzed on one side. I went to the hospital and prayed for him, and God restored his function right then. He started moving his right side. He got arthritis in his knees and had surgery and a lot of other stuff. And then he had another heart attack. And this is 20 years later now. And I went to the hospital to see him, to pray for him and talk to him. And somehow that dog ordinance came up. I didn't bring it up. And he looked at me, and that venomous came down and said, you know, I hadn't gotten even with you yet, but I'm going to get you yet for that. And you know, I just said, you pussy man. I have done all I can do, Lord. He's yours. You know, there's sometimes you just folks won't settle. Won't settle. Terrible things happened to him. I don't want to go anymore. I've already said too much. Because if you live in that town, you could probably pick out who he is. But I tell you, people, you need to forgive. And if you've hurt somebody, you need to call and try to make it right. You need to do that so God will honor your prayers. So God will set you free and give you the gift of forgiveness, the grace gift of being forgiven, that you can stand before Him righteous and pure and be under the wing of God. He will cover you with His wings, and under His feathers you will take refuge, and the enemy cannot touch you. Brother Jack said back during the time when they were all building fallout shelters, everybody was asking what his was made out of, and he said, mine's made out of feathers. And that's the best one, the one that's made out of the feathers of the wing of God. Because if you're under His protection, The enemy will in no wise touch you, and no plague shall come near your tent. Amen? I want all of y'all to stand now. And I want you to search your hearts about anything, any type of slight, any type of hurt, anything. Anytime somebody's name comes up, something comes up in your mind of some slight and you get angry, you need to pray for that person. Say, Dear Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was crucified on the cross for my sin. He was raised from the dead for my justification. He was manifested in the flesh. He was made a man just like me. He was raised from the dead for my justification, ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of God the Father, ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am a child of the living God. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I break all the curses that have come down through the family lines from the sins of the ancestors. I confess these, my sin and my father's sins, and I break the curses on me and my lineal descendants forever. I bind these spirits and I command them to leave me and leave my family line. Father, I forgive. I confess that there are people who offended me, that I resent, that I do not have love and compassion for. I ask you now, Lord, to bring to mind anyone that I need to forgive. Lord, I forgive. You name them, Jimmy, John, Joe, under your breath, very quietly, but put it in the airways so the devil can hear it. God can hear it, but the devil wants to hear it. And he can't reach your mind. God can. I forgive Jimmy, Joe, John, Jack, Sue, my father, my mother, my grandparents, my great-grandparents. In the name of Jesus, I forgive them. I ask you to bless them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I break all evil soul ties to them. I release them to you. I break the spirit of Hava. Untie all the magic knots that holds me in bondage. And I break myself free. I shake off the shackles with your help and by your grace. I ask you to bless them, Lord, and bring them to salvation. In the name of Jesus. Everybody take a deep breath and cough now. Push them out. Come on out. Come on out. Let them go. Rise up off of them. All the chains and the shackles, drop off now in the name of Jesus Christ. Drop off in the name of Jesus. Open their minds. I bind the spirits that would blind the mind-blocking spirits, the Antichrist spirits, in the name of Jesus. I break their power in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. Let's let your peace come down. Let your healing grace and your peace come down. Everybody lift their hand and let the peace come down. The anointing of God. Let flow down, Lord God. More of your grace. Through, by your grace. By your grace and by your mighty power, your great love for us. We declare that we are children of the living God. And we have a Father in heaven who loves us and a big brother who will protect us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you. See you at 6 o'clock in the morning.
This is the end of the CD.